John Sawat would often begin his meditation instructions by telling you to bring an attitude of respect and confidence to what you're doing. You're developing the mind. You're doing the work of the Buddhist teachings. And you're hoping to learn things that you don't know. After all, the basic cause of our suffering is ignorance. Or as John Sawat would translate the word avijja, our stupidity. It's not simply that we don't know, but the things we do know we tend to be stupid about. So on the one hand, it's good to have some humility as you practice. There's a lot you don't know, a lot you misunderstand. You should also have some confidence that you can learn. You know, of course, the story of the teacup. The Zen master gets a new student, and he starts pouring some tea for the student into a cup, and he keeps pouring and pouring and pouring, and it overflows. The student gets upset. "Can't you see what you're doing?" And the Zen master says, "Got to throw out the old water." Basically, throw out a lot of your ideas and be willing to sit here with something very basic, the breath, or the meditation word bhutto, or both together, and give them time to do their work. If you come with a lot of preconceived notions about how the practice should go, things don't have an opportunity to develop as they would. If you simply put some trust in the Buddha, this is an attitude that John Sawat had very strongly. Why, another one of his favorite teachings, and one that he said that a John Munn would teach a lot, was to practice the Dharma in accordance with the Dharma, and not in accordance with your opinions. Because after all, your opinions are based on ignorance, or as the John Sawat would say, they're based on your own stupidity. And in the Buddha's words, it's the case that when a foolish person has a sense of his or her own foolishness, that person is to that extent wise. So admit to yourself that there's a lot you don't know. And there's a lot that you can learn. And have some faith in the basic steps of the path. As the Buddha said when he set out the path, he set it out in such a way that there's nothing lacking and there's nothing in excess. In other words, we don't have 8 factors just in case you need an extra 2 or 3. Or only 6 or 5 or whatever would be enough. You need all 8. But at the same time, there's a lot that we like to add to the path that's not necessary. So putting aside sensual thoughts, putting aside unskillful qualities, talk to yourself about the breath. Watch the breath. Breathe in a way that gives rise to a sense of ease. And then maintain that. We've all read the maps. We know how many jhanas there are. We may have read the maps of the Vipassana jhanas. But you've got to throw those things away. For the time being, there's only you, your awareness, with the breath. Let the steadiness of your gaze change things inside. Because after all, if we're here to attain something we've never attained before, to realize something we've never realized before, we have to do things we haven't done before. And it starts with being really steadily right here. watching what comes up. And when things come up, remember the Buddha's instructions. If it's something unskillful, put it aside. As for the skillful things, ask yourself, is this the right time and place for them? Because there are some things that will come up in the mind. They're not really related to what you're doing. Try to pare things down to what's really relevant to getting the mind to stay still. As for any disturbance in the mind, that's something you want to regard as the first noble truth, or the second. In other words, something to be comprehended and then to be abandoned. Even little disturbances in the mind, you learn how not to accept them. You really give yourself to the concentration. Give yourself to wanting to do this well. You think about the forest ajahns. Many of them came from a very poor background. And the practice was their only way out. So they gave themselves totally to the practice. We have lots of alternatives. And so we sometimes give ourselves 50%, 40%, 20%, and hold on to a lot of our other alternatives, just in case. But if you took a good look at the alternatives, realize, after all, we're coming here from a culture that does not know how to put an end to suffering. It knows a lot of other things, but it doesn't know the big issue in life. And here the Buddha is offering a way out, which is going to require that we put aside a lot of our old beliefs, a lot of our old preferences, and take him at his word, give him the benefit of the doubt. We all have doubts. They're not going to be wiped out until the first level of awakening. But the question is, how do we handle those doubts? If we hold on to them and see that they're precious, a part of our identity, part of who we are, part of the culture we come from, we're never going to get past them. Here the Buddha is offering something that our culture does not have any answer for, a solution to the problem of suffering. It was the same in India of the Buddha's time. The culture there had no solution to that problem. This is a people who wander around bewildered. And he offered them a chance to end their bewilderment. When Ajahn Sawat came here to the States, first it was for the Thai people who were here. And then it started spreading out, his sense of what he could accomplish. When he first thought of having the monastery here, there were a lot of the supporters up in the town of Ontario or around Los Angeles who were not happy with the idea. They just were in the process of building the monastery there. They didn't want to see the effort diluted. But Ajahn Sawat saw there was something more important than just the Thai community. He wanted a place where monks could practice, lay people could practice, regardless of background. Because he saw America was so poor, and the issue that mattered most. So here we are, we have the benefit of his determination. The monastery is here, offers a place to practice. In an environment where we really can give ourselves to the practice. There's one aspect of what he said when we're getting started. He says, we're not here to get other people. We're here to get ourselves. In other words, we're here to practice. If other people like the practice, they want to join us, that's fine. But we're not going to change anything to attract people. So we've tried to maintain that attitude ever since. so people can practice the Dharma in accordance with the Dharma. As the Buddha said, that's the true way to show respect for him. That's the true way to show gratitude to Ajahn Sawat, show our respect for Ajahn Sawat. And of course, to taste the benefits of what the Dharma has to offer, if we change the Dharma to fit in with our preferences, we'll never have an opportunity to test what the real Dharma has to offer. If we deal with fake Dharma, then we're going to get fake results. And if we're fake people, we probably wouldn't even know. So try to be true to the practice. And that way you have the chance to get a taste of what those true results can be.